Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Tuesday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories from across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Newly inaugurated Governor Abigail Spanberger spoke to a joint assembly of the House and Senate Monday afternoon. Michael Pope tells us she was focused on affordability.
It is my pleasure to present to you Her Excellency, the Governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Honorable Abigail Davis Spanberger.
That was Speaker of the House Don Scott kicking off a joint session of the House and Senate, where newly inaugurated Governor Abigail Spanberger outlined her affordability agenda, focusing on drug prices, housing costs, and energy bills.
Nearly half of college students who graduate from Virginia universities leave our Commonwealth within 5 years. That's above the national average. Prescription drug costs have risen. Energy bills are high. The challenges are real, and my fellow Virginians, this is not a hoax. This is real life.
Republican Senate Minority Leader Ryan McDougal says if the governor really cared about affordability, she would repeal the Clean Economy Act and stay out of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, also known as REGI.
REGI is a tax on energy bills. It has already cost Virginians over $800 million, and it will continue to cost more. We're not in the business of redistributing wealth. That's what happens in Venezuela, not in Virginia.
Many of Spanberger's lines had Democrats standing and cheering, while Republicans sat silent, except one. Republicans leapt to their feet and applauded when she reiterated her opposition to overturning Virginia's right-to-work law. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia's House Republicans announced their own affordability agenda Monday. The list of bills comes as the 2026 legislative session kicks off and as an answer to Governor Spanberger's promise to reduce costs. Brad Kuttner has this story.
In November, the voters sent a clear message. They're deeply concerned about the cost of living. We're listening.
That's House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore at a press conference Monday morning. The Gate City Republican and his caucus announced a series of measures that he said target some of the Commonwealth's, quote, most hated taxes. He said former Governor Glenn Youngkin's budgeting created a surplus that can help cover local taxes, filling in the gap with state funds over time.
We have the money to do this in the budget without impacting the priorities of the Commonwealth.
House Republicans also have their sights set on the Virginia Clean Economy Act. A bill from Bedford Delegate Tim Griffin would undo some environmental requirements under the landmark environmental law if electric bills go up by more than 5%.
General Assembly can always come back and they can reimpose those, but it gets rid of that standard so that people can afford their energy bills again. And that's something that I think, if when we talk about affordability, the number one thing that we can do as the Virginia government right now is cut electric bills.
And Delegate Joe McNamara is taking on the car tax. The Roanoke Republican would like to see the first $5,000 in value go untaxed, with the goal of that value increasing incrementally. State revenue would be used to backfill the funds, which are a $4 billion lifeline for localities.
Let's do what we said we were going to do during the election cycle and make it reality for the Commonwealth of Virginia.
McNamara also wants to see an increase in the state standard deduction, a change likely supported by the new chair of the House Finance Committee, Fairfax Delegate Vivian Watts. A budget impact statement estimating costs of both measures was not yet available. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Up in a little while, men have traditionally filled the ranks of hunters in Virginia, but their numbers are declining and more women are taking up the sport.
It's gotten better now, but like 15, 20 years ago, I've never talked to a woman that knew what she was talking about. I have to, you know, I feel like I have to. I probably shouldn't, but I do feel like I have to prove myself.
Christine Cuter talks with Emily Beasley about her experience. We'll have that story up shortly. Governor Abigail Spanberger has made appointments and nominations for roles across government that will affect the Commonwealth's criminal justice system. Dave Cantor has this story.
The Democrat-appointed Stanley Mader, who formerly led Richmond's FBI field office as Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security. Mader, who will need to be confirmed, appeared last week during the first House Public Safety Committee meeting of the General Assembly session. He was immediately asked about staffing vacancies at state prisons.
One thing that's very important is, especially from a staffing perspective in DOC, is there's officer safety and there's inmate safety. They're both a priority. When I look at that space moving forward, I'm looking forward to having those conversations on things that are working and doing that assessment as to what we can do better in that space because it has to be a priority.
Mader's tenure at the FBI was also mentioned, including a 2023 memo produced by his Richmond staff that some claimed targeted Catholics. A Department of Justice investigation found, quote, no evidence of malicious intent. On Friday, Spanberger also named Joseph Walters as the new director of the Virginia Department of Corrections, a position that would report to Mader. Walters has been with the agency since 2017 and most recently served as VDOC's deputy director. He's replacing Chadwick Dodson, who had held the agency's top role since September 2023. I'm Dave Cantor.
Members of the Virginia State Senate are considering a bill that would prevent abortion rights opponents from blocking access to clinics. Michael Pope is at the Capitol with this report.
When does free speech become an obstruction? That's what members of the Virginia State Senate are asking as they consider legislation that would prevent abortion rights opponents from blocking access to clinics. Dennis Petricelli says people who oppose abortion rights are there to exercise their right to free speech.
None of us that I work with outside of abortion clinics obstruct, block, harass, or intimidate. We stand there with literature. If women are willing to take it, we give it to them.
The courts have rejected efforts to create a buffer, but State Senator Stella Pekarsky, a Democrat from Fairfax County, says her bill creates a bubble.
This is bubble legislation. It creates a very tight area around the healthcare facility, and this type of legislation has been upheld in the courts as constitutional.
Abortion rights advocates are expecting a legal challenge to whatever legislation is approved on this, and so they're hoping that they can figure out ways to anticipate pitfalls to a 40-foot bubble and make sure the language can withstand scrutiny in the courts. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia law requires restaurants that sell liquor to sell an almost equal amount of food. Efforts to change that so-called food-to-booze ratio have faced hurdles, but many longtime opponents in the legislature are gone, and a bipartisan younger crop of lawmakers is looking to make changes. Brad Kuttner has this story.
Jackie Bishop Wells has been the general manager at Fallout RVA, a bar in downtown Richmond, for about a decade. She said the food they serve is high quality enough to meet the state's food-to-booze ratio, but...
I just think that the ratio is maybe a little bit outdated. Not having it looming over my head would be nice.
Enter Alexandria delegate Elizabeth Bennett Parker. She has a new bill that aims to reduce the ratio from 45 to 30%. She said the idea came from a constituent.
And he was sharing with me, as a small restaurant, the struggles of trying to meet the ratio and also be able to do these innovative crack cocktails that consumers want and are going across the river to find.
Republican Senator Bryce Reeves brought a similar effort in 2024. It got further than anyone expected, thanks in part to the retirement of some senior Democrats who opposed changes, but in their absence, he welcomes the change.
This is one of those lingering issues that needs to go away.
Republican Senator Bill Stanley is currently involved in litigation over the ratio, specifically a loophole that exempts the state's new casinos. And while an unwritten rule bars Virginia lawmakers from legislating during pending litigation, Stanley hopes they do.
If anybody's going to bring up that, well, there's ongoing pending litigation, we shouldn't bring this up, they're full of crap.
Bennett Parker also has a powerful ally on the issue, House Speaker Don Scott.
I'm going to look at the policy. I think there's some room for movement.
And Bennett Parker thinks the bill fits into Governor Abigail Spanberger's affordability agenda.
A lot of small restaurants are in danger of closing given the economy, and this is going to help providing them with some relief.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The Science Museum of Western Virginia will be moving from its longtime home and center in the square in downtown Roanoke. The museum has been there since 1984, but center in the square officials say they're not renewing the museum's rent-free lease at the end of 2026. In a statement, center in the square general manager Tara Marciniak said the organization, quote, would be happy to find new ways to support them in their next space. On social media, the Science Museum of Western Virginia thanked supporters and said it would honor memberships throughout 2026 and into a new, as yet unnamed location. The equipment in the planetarium will go with the Science Museum when it moves. Over the last 3 years, the number of men who hunt in Virginia declined by about 10,000, reflecting national trends. At the same time, about 1,000 more women across the Commonwealth took up the sport, as Christine Cuter reports. And a note to listeners, this story does include the sound of a gunshot.
That's a dope. Pretty, isn't it? I'm sorry, that's a perfect shot.
It takes Emily Beasley less than 2 minutes to field dress a deer, and another half minute for her to toss the steaming offal into the grass a few yards away, where it'll become dinner for coyotes once the winter sun sinks.
Did she drop?
Got it done, didn't you?
I think so.
She didn't go far, did she?
Field dressing, the removal of a creature's internal organs after it's killed, is second nature to Beasley, who's been hunting since she was 8.
Now, if my sleeves fall down, I might have to get you to pull them up. Okay.
But even as Beasley's thrilled to chat up the growing number of women and girls she meets in the field, earning respect as a hunter has been something of an uphill battle.
You don't look like a hunter. Thanks, I think. What does that mean? Or like I'll hunt, you know, hunting season falls during Halloween and, you know, I'll go to the gas station. Oh, you going as a hunter? I'm like, no, I am a hunter, you know, different. And then, you know, I've had, especially it's gotten better now, but like 15, 20 years ago, I've never talked to a woman that knew what she was talking about. I have to, you know, I feel like I have to, I probably shouldn't, but I do feel like I have to prove myself.
According to the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources, 1,000 more Virginia women registered to hunt over the last 3 years, bringing the state's tally of female hunters to just above 25,000. A year ago, DWR launched new women's programs offering hunting, fishing, and outdoor fluency. Some of the state's professional hunting groups now offer women's divisions for their annual Big Buck contests. Females donating their kill to Hunters for the Hungry, which distributes mostly wild-harvested venison to food pantries across the state, rose by 44% between 2021 and 2024. Triggered by COVID-era boredom, love for the outdoors, social media, and an interest in self-sufficiency and thrift, women like Beasley and her daughter Rylan are changing the game. Sometimes they do things a little bit differently.
It was funny, one came in, she missed, started crying, and then this buck came in, she got it, started crying. I said, pick a lane, girl. She's like, you know, that's what I'm saying, like the emotions, you know, the highs and lows are just, you know, so I've tried to pass that on to her, to respect the animal. She knows you don't sit on them. You don't take pictures with blood everywhere. You clean up. You know, you make it nice, you know, pretty. I mean, you've taken something's life. That's special, you know, to me. I don't take that lightly.
Beasley admits there's a degree of dissonance in being both an animal lover and a hunter, but says the magic of harvest hasn't diminished for her.
Most hunters do love animals. It probably starts with the desire to be in the nature, be around animals. And all the, you know, the ones I know would help a wounded animal. I just feel like I want to help something that's hurt, but then maybe outsmart something that's not.
Beasley hunts everything from bear to pheasant to turkeys to deer, a lot of deer, 4 to 5 each season, which she then processes herself. The family's freezer is stocked with meat, and their home is filled with taxidermied creatures, including a half dozen antlered bucks and, in Beasley's bedroom, a trotting coyote.
Once it's done, if you could bottle that up, you'd be a millionaire. You ask someone who has harvested something that they're really proud of or really put a lot of time into, or, you know, it's just amazing. That's the feeling, like, if that's what hooks people. It's like release. It's just amazing. It's very emotional, if you care. You know.
And you do.
I do.
While Virginia's hunting season ended in many places January 3rd, in some counties, antlerless deer may still be harvested using bows or firearms through March 29th. Reporting from Scottsville, I'm Christine Cuter.
Looking at the forecast, cold, but a bit of a warm-up is expected the middle part of the week. Cold weather advisory still in effect for a handful of localities in southwest Virginia, along the West Virginia border, and along the northern Blue Ridge until later today. Wind chills as low as 10 below are expected. Sunshine today, but cold and fairly breezy. Highs in the mid-20s to around 38 for Danville, 33 for Roanoke and Charlottesville. Will be mostly clear tonight. Lows will be in the low to upper teens throughout the region. Wednesday, sunny again, although a few more clouds will try to work into the region late. Breezy and warmer. Highs in the low 40s to near 50 for the Bristol area, and some clouds and a couple of showers possible starting out Thursday, then more clearing and breezy. Highs in the upper 30s to 56 around Danville. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Boswell.